Hey, y'all. We're going to look today at Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat and came and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So, in this scene, we get a very important theme that opens up through the New Testament and through the ministry of Jesus, and that is this theme of the disciples being fishers of men. So the Sea of Galilee here is called Gennesaret. That's what it was called in that day. It's in a region that was pretty wealthy, pretty prosperous, and it was also at a region that was a crossroads for shipping to the Mediterranean Sea and then land routes to the east. So it was kind of an international area. And remember, this is also the area that was the area of the Northern Kingdom during the Old Testament period. And of course, Jesus' reputation is growing, and we get this impression that the crowds are so big, he can't get air to breathe. And so in part, he gets in these two boats that happen to be there as they've just wrapped up their night fishing. Jesus says, "Here, can I sit on your boat and I'll preach from there." And so he sits down in the traditional posture for teaching, and he teaches the crowds for a while. We're not given the content, but we can assume, like Luke has already said, that it is the kingdom of God. Now, these boats, we've actually found a boat. They call it the Jesus boat because it dates to around the period of time of the New Testament. These boats are about 27 feet long. They would have a mast. You could both row them and use the winds. And you would have these small crews, usually working with two boats to fish with nets. And it's almost as if it's an accident that Jesus gets in that particular boat. But of course, we know that Jesus is up to far more than that. And so at the end of his teaching, he says, "Put out into the deep." Now, of course, as Peter says, they've been fishing all night long, which is when fishermen usually fished in the Sea of Galilee. They've caught nothing. But Peter has got to be impressed, or at least wanting to show honor to this new rabbi that's appeared on the scene. And so he says, "Well, we haven't caught anything. We've been out there all night, and I know my business, but okay, we'll do what you say." And of course, they catch this amazing catch of fish. And everyone is... they're really almost scared because this is an astounding amount of fish and it's not to be expected. But I think, again, there's more going on in this text than merely the miracle, because remember, the miracle was meant to be a sign pointing to something deeper, namely Jesus' significance. Jesus said, remember, "Put out into the deep." Well, Jesus has drawn out the depths of Peter's heart. And when Peter sees this miracle that Jesus does, when he sees God, as it were, all he can do is think of his unworthiness. Of course, Jesus knows this, but deep calls unto deep, and Jesus is going to the depths. And that's what happens when we encounter God, is he goes to the depths, he draws out the depths of our hearts. And if a human is not aware of their own weakness, frailty, and in particular sin when they encounter God, there's a real problem. So I think it's a sign of health that Peter says, "Lord, I don't deserve to be with you." Of course, Jesus knows all this, just like he knew Abraham's depths and David's depths. He knows all that. And so he opens up this very familiar theme. I'm going to make you fishers of men, or from now on, you're going to be fishing for men. And this is a really important theme that I want to underline for a minute, because we usually just take this to be, okay, well, now you're going to do evangelism, or, you know, you're going to preach the gospel. But there's a little bit more depth to what's going on than that. In the Old Testament, God's leaders, if you look, most of the prominent leaders of the Old Testament period were from one profession first, namely shepherds. Moses was a shepherd. The patriarchs were shepherds. David was a shepherd before he became the shepherd of Israel. So there's this great metaphor and great preparation for leading and protecting a people in leading and protecting these domesticated animals, these sheep. And in the scriptures, clean animals are symbolic for Israel. Well, by the end of the Old Testament, you are beginning to get among the prophets messages of seafaring and of fishing. So, for example, in Ezekiel, the water goes down to the sea of water from the temple goes down to the Dead Sea, makes it fresh, and there's all kinds of fish caught on there. And then, maybe most importantly, the only seafaring prophet is Jonah. And look at what his mission is. His mission is to go and preach repentance to Nineveh, a pagan nation, so that they would repent. And of course, he goes, actually, to a place called Joppa to get a boat to go as far away from Nineveh as he can. Nineveh's back this way. Because he knows God's merciful, and he doesn't want the Assyrians to find mercy. So what the sea represents in Scripture is the Gentile nations. What you see in Genesis when God creates the sea monsters, the Leviathan, is that by the book of Daniel, we understand that those monsters of the deep represent the pagan nations around Israel. And so the sea or the ocean or waters typically represents the Gentile nations. And that's indeed what is being tapped into here in this theme. Jesus is essentially saying, in the old covenant, my leaders protected and shepherded my people. But in the new covenant, blessing is going to flow from my people to the nations. And our borders need to be porous now so that we can bring the gospel out to the nations. So again, I mentioned that Jonah was the only seafaring prophet. He was a reluctant missionary to Gentile nations. It's no accident that in Acts chapter 10, when Peter gets the vision of unclean animals coming down from heaven and God saying, arise, kill, and eat, that Peter is in the town of Joppa, the very town that Jonah went to run away from God. So Peter is there commissioned now to be a fisher, not just of Jews, but of Gentiles, to bring the message to all the nations. And again, it's no accident that by the end of the book of Acts, there's a lot of seafaring as Paul himself, missionary to the Gentiles, goes from the Holy Land all the way to Rome to bring the gospel to the center of the Roman Empire. So it's important to notice how this theme of crossing the water and going to Gentile regions begins here, as Jesus says, you guys are fishers, and that's just the kind of profession that will prepare you to do what I've called you to do, which is bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just to Jews, but to all the nations. So may we follow in the footsteps of the fishermen who were called by Jesus to fish for men. Amen.